The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
What's going on, y'all? This is Brandon Tatum. I just want to thank you so much for listening to my podcast. You can always get the podcast at Salem Podcast Network or wherever you listen to your podcast.
Brandon Tatum is a 7-year veteran of the Tucson Police Department. He's a YouTube sensation with 1.9 million subscribers. He started Blexit with Candace Owens, and now he's tackling his biggest assignment yet. This is the Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen, ladies, welcome to the Officer Tatum Show. I want to talk about Donald Trump and his special master that was appointed. Very interesting situation here. You know, I haven't had a chance to listen to other talk radio shows to see what others may have thought about this decision, but it's very bizarre to me. You know, and I'm gonna do my best to try to figure out what is going on here, and I'm just confused about Trump's decision. Let me just say it like that. Okay, so I believe it happened either today, earlier today, the judge announced to appoint a special master to essentially go in and foolproof the investigation that the DOJ and the FBI are doing into the Trump Mar-a-Lago raid. So I'm just going to explain it to you just real quick. You have the FBI who gets an affidavit. A judge signs off on them to go into Trump's personal home at Mar-a-Lago to gather what they claim to be classified information, top secret information, information that isn't supposed to be in the custody of President Trump, given the fact that he's no longer the president of the United States of America. They go in, they extract what they had extracted, and then now the controversy starts. So Donald Trump is saying from his side that they had no business taking the information that they took because some of it is attorney-client privilege. Some of it is considered privileged information, privileged documents that he has every legal right to own, and that they were declassified, and everything is up to par on his end. Now, the FBI takes the information, they further the investigation, and then the DOJ comes through, and quote unquote, they are supposed to verify and do their own investigation into whether or not the documents that were taken from Donald Trump's home were in fact privileged documents, declassified documents, or attorney-client privilege material. Now, the judge decided, and I think this is the right judgment, the judge out of Florida decided that the DOJ, and this is me paraphrasing to a certain degree, that the DOJ cannot be impartial in their investigation. It does not make sense for the DOJ to then investigate the FBI. Those are both federal bureaus that are essentially run by the same branch of government. And so she appointed a special master, and I hope that I'm saying his name right. It's Judge Raymond, I think it's Deary. And it's interesting because I don't know why he was selected. Now, if you look at his background, you'll see that he was a Reagan nominee. He's been a federal judge. Well, he was a federal judge in New York since 1986, and he retired in 2011 and is now a senior judge in the district. So he's a senior judge in the district. He retired as a federal judge. He also, this is the part that gets crazy, he also served several terms, not this specific part, but I'm going to get to the part. He served several terms, U.S. Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, or FISA court, which is what we know it as, FISA court. Deary was one of the judges who approved the FBI and DOJ request to surveil Carter Page, who was a Trump campaign foreign policy advisor, as part of the federal inquiry into whether Russia interfered in the 2016 election. It says the process that the federal investigators used to secure the FISA warrant was riddled with errors and overall sloppiness, according to the DOJ Inspector General report. Two of the four surveillance warrants granted by the secretive FISA court regarding Page have since been declared invalid, including one of them that was approved by Deary June of 2017. Donald Trump, it says Trump's team nominated Deary, and the DOJ did not object. Given the fact that this particular judge, and many may argue that he's impartial, but given the fact that this judge actually signed one of the FISA court warrants that was deemed illegitimate, is now going to oversee another illegitimate situation between Donald Trump and the FBI. I just don't understand. Like, I'm maybe we are lost. I'm not on Truth Social, so I don't see what the president is posting. But I think the president needs to articulate, which he may have already. I'll look it up. He needs to be able to articulate, why did he pick this guy Raymond Deary, if I'm even saying his name right? Why did he pick him? Why is there nobody else out there that could have been nominated by President Trump? This guy was a part of the FISA bullcrap. And now he's going to be a part of another investigation from the FBI, which I think is a hoax. I can't prove it. I'm not saying unequivocally that it is. It's just that it's suspicious enough for me to doubt the legitimacy. Why would Trump pick this particular person? Maybe I need to do my due diligence and try to look up every social media platform that Donald Trump is on and try to figure out what his reasoning was. But it is very bizarre to me that Donald Trump picked this guy. And it's not shocking that the DOJ did not object. So if you're wondering what in the world is this gentleman, Deary, Raymond Deary, going to do in this investigation, I'm going to read it from this document because it explains it very succinctly. It says the special master is a third-party attorney appointed by the courts to oversee parts of certain cases. Deary would specifically oversee the Justice Department review of the evidence gathered from Donald Trump's Florida residence and resort, and filter out privileged material that may have been seized during the search. Trump and the Justice Department, however, have disagreed on other key aspects of the special master review, including how long it's going to take and who is responsible for paying for it and what type of documents are subject to review. The question is, how long will this take? How long has Judge Cannon given Deary an opportunity to oversee or look over the information and make sure that it's kosher? And it says that the deadline is November the 30th to finish the review of potential privileged documents. The DOJ has sought for the process to end in October, while Donald Trump's team says that they prefer 90 days. Judge Cannon's schedule means the review will end after the midterm congressional elections, essentially guaranteeing that the Mar-a-Lago investigation will move slowly for the next 2 months unless a higher court steps in. I think it's incredibly important to note that this is going to be after the midterms. Why is this important, Mr. Tatum? Because if the FBI is trying to push a political stunt, which means that they want to get him in trouble, they want to get some dirt out on him before the midterm elections, why would they do that? Who would dare do something like that? Don't we live in a country where everybody's honest? No, we're not. And no, we don't. And no, they're not. I believe they want to make this political. Whether this is legitimate or not, you can still make it political. You can have evidence to arrest a person and you just wait to the opportune time to arrest them instead of arresting them in a legitimate manner. So I think that's incredibly important that this is going to happen, or the decisions are going to be made after the midterm election is over. And then let me read down. It says, why did Trump want a special master? We already know why Trump wanted a special master. I don't need to read that part. And the DOJ's position, I already told you, the DOJ is objecting to all of that. They believe that their little special investigative group is going to cover the spectrum. I really do hope that there is nothing, no there. And let me just say this. I believe that there's nothing there. I believe that Trump is probably, listen, it's nuances to certain things, right? There's a gift and a curse when it comes to the nuances that I'm explaining. In investigations and arrests that are made, you have flexibility in the sense of you only have to develop probable cause, right? Probable cause is that a reasonable person did a particular crime. And so Donald Trump may have had information that he shouldn't have had. And they can toe the line of saying, well, he had reason to know because of X, Y, Z. And then they can push that and develop what they call probable cause to end up arresting him, even though it's a weak case. I'm sure it happens all the time. Policing is nuanced. And there's a possibility that they could have done that in order to smear him, knowing that it's not going to ever go anywhere in a legitimate court and that Donald Trump would not be found guilty. I got so much other stuff to talk about. Ladies and gentlemen, I need you to hold the phone. I'll be back after the break.
This is the Officer Tatum Show. 844-900-7243. That's 844-900-7243.
MyPillow is having their biggest sheet sale of the year. You all have helped build MyPillow into the amazing company that it is today. Now, Mike Lindell, investor and CEO, wants to give back exclusively to his listeners. The Percale bed sheet sets is available in a variety of colors and sizes, and they are all on sale. For example, the queen sizes are regularly priced at $89.98, but now they're only $39.98 with our listeners' promo code. Order now, because when they're gone, they gone. The Percale sheets are breathable and have a cool, crisp feel. These come with a 10-year warranty and also a 60-day money-back guarantee. Don't miss out on this incredible offer. There are a limited supply, so make sure that you order now. Call 1-800-976-8379. Use promo code Brandon or go to MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener square and use promo code Brandon. This offer will not last long, so order now with promo code Brandon at MyPillow.com for your exclusive offer on the Percale sheets.
Is the Officer Tatum Show. The left ain't seen nothing yet.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I want to talk about this NFL shenanigans and the wokeness of the NFL, because I know the NFL season is upon us, and a lot of you guys are watching the NFL, probably to your demise. However, the NFL can't stop going woke. So I'm going to read this article real quick that talks about the NFL. It says social media users were ruthless in lambasting the NFL for unveiling an advertising campaign aimed at the Latino community. The NFL unveiled the second annual Por la Cultura. That's why I don't speak Spanish. Por la Cultura. I sound like my black Spanish teacher when I was in high school. She didn't know no Spanish. Anyway, a campaign that celebrates Latino Heritage Month, which runs from September the 15th to October the 15th, as part of the campaign. The NFL debut and an alternative logo with an accent mark over the letter N. I guess they wanted to be an N-Y, which is the league's league claim added an unmistakable Latino flavor to this campaign. Twitter users were ripping their rear ends over this. And I wish you guys could see this picture, because it's absolutely asinine. I don't know who was smoking crack when they did this. You know the NFL symbol. They didn't make the, what you would call the slash over it. What is it called when you, the little mark over the accent mark? I guess it's called an accent mark. It's got to be called something else. But they didn't just make the image with the accent mark over the top as if it's meant to be there. Like they integrated it into the NFL logo. They didn't do that. They literally, somebody photoshopped with their finger and wrote one of those slashes right over the end. in like a, I don't know, like a marker or something. It's what it looks like. It has no connection with the sign itself. But people were railing them. And I was there for it. So on Twitter, after they posted this, a couple of people had some pretty interesting comments to say. It says, it's wild how massive corporations that spend millions on PR still don't see or seem to employ one person whose job is just to look at everything first and say, yeah, you're going to get roasted online over this. Another person said, delete this, por favor. Another one, I'm not going to go on that one. That was kind of boring. I'm scared that I don't see the unmistakable Latin flavor. There's somebody else wrote something funny on here. I can't find the quote. Oh, it says, well, at least the NFL isn't using Latinx this time. Why do I think these things are, you know, interesting? Because of this fact here. It says the NFL unveiled a similar campaign last year for Latinx Heritage Month using a gender-inclusive, Latinx, a term which only 2% of self-identified Latinos use, and a plurality of Latinos, 40%, said was offensive in a particular survey. So, who is smoking and thinking that this is a good idea? Now, let me say this about inclusion. I think we should celebrate every culture in the United States of America. Everybody who has migrated here, integrated into the United States of America, brings with them a tremendous diversity of culture. Black people in this country have a tremendous culture. White people that come to this country that migrated here have a tremendous culture. Hispanics, I mean, you name it. You go Asian, you name it. We have come together as a melting pot to develop something that's truly beautiful and special. You can go anywhere in the United States of America and you'll find almost every culture represented in our country. The food, the values, I mean, go down the list, the religions. You can find it everywhere. There's nowhere else like that in the world except the United States of America, I would argue. But you don't have to pander, right? You can say, we just want to give a special announcement and celebrate Latino month and whatever the case may be, and have some people in the community kind of devise a plan on how to roll that out. I'm okay with that. But the overdoing of it, the pandering of it, Latinx, and putting a carrot. It's not a carrot. I can't think of it. I don't know the name of it. I call it an Enya, but it's definitely not the name of the. Or what is it called?
Matilde.
Remind me of the girl Matilda. But anyway, what is it called? Matilda. Matilde or Matilda. Which one is it?
Matilda.
Okay. So, regardless of that, you know, I'm cool with celebrating everybody, but we don't need to go off the deep end. You know, I think that for us to be completely culture blind, it's detrimental to our country, right? I mean, you could be colorblind, but you can't be culture blind. You can't act like everybody does the same thing, because you can even go within the same, what they call race, in different parts of the country, you're going to get a different person. People in California, black people in California, I'm just saying because I'm black and I grew up around black people most of my life. Black people in LA are not the same people as black people in Texas, who are not the same people as black people in New York. They don't even speak the same language, almost. The accent is incredibly different. The mentality of East Coast people versus Southern people versus West Coast people is a different, and Midwest is almost a different monster. But it's cool for us to love on one another and celebrate one another. But NFL, can you stop pandering? For the love of God, can you stop pandering? Y'all hold the phone. I'll be back after the break.
This is the Officer Tatum Show. Unafraid to tell it like it is.
Uncle Tom 2 is an eye-opening documentary everyone in America should see. Brandon Tatum here, and Uncle Tom 2 offers a compelling and brave analysis of the true history of Black America. The cultural shift from prosperity, integrity, and faith to its current perceived state of anger, discontent, and victimhood. Uncle Tom 2 offers historic footage, photos, correspondence, and data to reveal the genuine strides of Black America in the 20th century, the deliberate Marxist strategy to create racial tension and replace God with government, the NAACP's sinister agenda, the fall of Black Harlem, the truth behind Black Lives Matter, and the demoralization of America for political power. Don't miss Uncle Tom 2 from executive producer Larry Elder and director Justin Malone, with yours truly, Vodi Bakum and Chad O. Jackson. Watch the movie on demand or buy the DVD now at salemnow.com. That's salemnow.com, salemnow.com. Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen and ladies, welcome back to the Austin Tatum Show. It's Friday. And I think I got Carl Jackson going to fill in for me on Monday. I'll be in D.C. for an incredible event. However, it's Friday. I hope you guys are having a wonderful day. I hope that you're ending your day on a good note. Some of you guys who are on the East Coast, it's a lot later than it is here. But I hope that you're incredibly blessed. You know, I just feel compelled. I'm gonna try to balance both things. You know, I feel compelled to start talking about Jesus because it gives me the opportunity to be on the airways to preach the gospel just a little bit, and I want to encourage people, and I want you to know the truth. And then I'll blast through some of these particular items of news that you may want to hear or may not want to hear, but you'll be up to speed on what's going on, at least to the best of my ability. But I just really want to just take a little moment, because I know that there's people that listen to me that are Christians, and there's people that listen to me who are not Christian. And I just want to encourage those who are Christian and those who may be open to Christianity that your pursuit of God is a personal pursuit that can incorporate corporate worship in attendance at a church, but your primary focus should be your personal relationship. For the Christians out there, you need to develop your personal relationship. You should be reading your Bible. You should be meditating on God in your own time and space. You cannot rely heavily on showing up at church and thinking that's going to be all you need to do to get into heaven or to find favor in God or to get your life together, whatever you're seeking to do. I think church can be a contributing factor, but man, you're going to have to be able to worship God on your own. You're going to have to be able to read your Bible and pray and build a relationship as an individual. Because a lot of times people fall by the wayside because they put so much faith in the church. They put so much faith in pastors. They put so much faith in doctrines and stuff that they hear. You know, you need to study the Bible and study to show thyself approved. You need to show yourself that you can, you know, or at least prove to yourself that you know what you're talking about so you don't get misled. And for those who are not Christians, who are open to it, I think the biggest reason why people are not Christian in this world because of churches and other people who yell from the mountaintop that they're Christian, they're Christian, they're Christian, and they actually devils. That, you know, they say I'm Christian, I'm Christian, I'm Christian, and then you the most grumpy person people have ever been around. You are a Karen 2.0. And then you expect people to want to come to Christ, and you claim to represent Christ, and you represent them very poorly. You know, people say I'm a Christian, and they at the nightclub putting money in thongs of strippers on Saturday, and on Sunday they posting pictures on Instagram of their favorite Bible verses. You are people like that are distracting others from finding out the truth about what the Lord Jesus is all about. So don't be that person. I was that person because I was naive. I used to go to church, but church wasn't in me. And as a young man, I went to this church, and a guy told me, he said, confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, you saved, right? And I went to the front of the church, and I did all that he said. And nothing in my life changed, and I was still sinning real bad. But he told me I was saved, so I didn't care. I was still sinning. I was saved. Like, I don't care how much I sin. I'm saved, right? I can sin all day. I can do whatever I want to do. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven no matter what I do. That's what I believed because that's what he preached. That's what the man told me. But when you go through and read the scripture, ladies and gentlemen, there's more to the story. You can't just be out here cutting up just because you confess with your mouth and you said you believe in your heart one time. You have to turn it into an action word. And I said this in the last segment. The Bible clearly says that faith without works is dead. You understand that? When you say, I have faith that the Lord Jesus is my Lord and Savior, and all that, faith without works is dead. That means you can run your mouth and say what you want, but if you're not following what Jesus told you to do, then you actually are not following him. You can't say I'm following Jesus, but don't follow none of the tenets. You can't say I'm following Jesus, but you don't even know what he said do. And I'm not trying to beat anybody up. I just want to encourage us to get better and us to think about these things a little more. Because churches, a lot of churches in America are fueled by money. And they have a vested interest to tell you to be a part of the church as much as they can because that's a membership. That's a subscription. And that means more money to the church. And some pastors don't want to go through the process of telling you all this stuff. They just rather you sit down at the church and you be there, you be in attendance. It's more likely with more butts in the seats, more bucks in the jar. I'm not saying every church is like that, but churches are out there doing this. They're not going to tell you the truth about salvation. They're not going to challenge you and put the scripture next to the scripture and tell you exactly what you need to do in order to inherit the kingdom. Now, the young lady was speaking about the gentleman on the cross. Now, I want you guys to understand this, and I don't want to go too preachy. We are in a different dispensation, and we are under a different covenant than the man that was on the cross, right? Because that man was on the cross before Christ died and was risen from the grave. They were under a different covenant before Christ died and was risen because he had not died for anybody's sins at that point. But that man had came to him with a genuine heart and repented on the cross. And he said, you will have a place in paradise. Now, Jesus died on the cross and then God raised him from the dead, which was the official atonement of our sins. So, but there's teaching that Jesus did after he resurrected. There is principles in which the apostles are going to go and spread the gospel, and the things that they took with them to teach the masses are things that Jesus wants us to do. And so when you look at the book of, when you look at the Pauline epistles, when you look at the, Romans, all of these books, these letters are written to edify the person who is a part of the church. And I want us to remember that. Don't get too caught up in the fancy fly-by-night church stuff where they say, look, he was a sinner his whole life. And look, Jesus forgave him on the cross. Well, the other guy, I don't think he said none of Jesus. What about the guy that was there before Jesus ever got to the cross? He died in his sins probably. So you can't hope and pray and guess that Jesus may pick you on your deathbed. Everybody that's listening has a great, incredible opportunity to do better and better and better each day that you wake up. And I want us to remember that. Never forget. Faith without works is dead. Don't just do lip service. What are your actions saying? Do you love Christ? If you love me, you'll keep my commandments is what Jesus said. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. So you can't say I love you, Jesus, and you don't keep the commandments. That's not me. That's what Jesus said. You can't say that I'm repentant if you haven't actually turned from anything. When the Bible talks about repentance, it's the turning away. You can look at the definition of the word repent. That means the turning away of, away from. That means if you have an alcohol problem and you're drinking every night, you're getting drunk. When you repent from it, you don't just say, I know I'm wrong for getting drunk every night. When you turn from it, that means you put that alcohol down and you do not return to it. That is repenting. And you may have to repent multiple times, but repenting is turning away from it. Your heart has to turn away from your sinful ways. It has to turn away from fornication. It has to turn away from homosexuality. All of those things, it has to turn away from it. That is repenting. And in the Bible, in the book of Acts 2, verse 38, they said, what should we do to be saved? Because they were wondering after they realized they crucified Jesus. He said, repent. That's the first thing you did. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So I just want to encourage us in that. How much time I have left? I got 1 minute. Johnny, I got 1 minute. Johnny from Indiana. I have 1 minute.
Welcome Amen, to, Pastor Tatum. Amen, Pastor Tatum.
A lot of people
say they're Christian, and they have no idea what that means. Christ did not close out the Old Testament. He said, I'm just going to consolidate it to the 11th commandment. Love thy God with all thy heart and thy strength. Love thy neighbor as you love yourself. And Amen. Like you said, repentance is, you know, I said it before the other night, where the mind goes, the body follows. And it's a tough one for some people because some people want the fun, but that's not the way to a better life. It's a lot more fun when you're on the right side of God. So,
100%, John.
Follows.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you for calling in. I got to go to the break. I love you guys. I'll talk to you after the break.
This is the Officer Tatum Show. Break yourself, fool.
I feel compelled to talk about Jesus. Let me get a couple more news article headlines I'm going to read to you, and then I'm going to go back to talking about the Lord because I think this is invaluable. Kanye West says that China manufacturing was partially behind his decision to cut ties with Adidas. So your boy Kanye West, the sensitive man himself. You know, I really don't like Kanye West that much, man. I ain't gonna even lie. Like, I don't have respect for men who are unstable. Now, each his own. Like, you can be cool or whatever. I just don't like. And maybe it's not his fault. Maybe he's bipolar or something. I don't like men that are unstable. I don't like a man that I go in a room with him and you don't know what he's gonna be like today. He in his feelings, so he will flip out on somebody. He go do some erratic stuff because he's in his feelings. To me, I like men who are stable. I appreciate men who are stable. I admire men who are stable. And it may not be your fault, but I like what I like. I support what I support. And like every time I turn around, it's like Kanye's doing some flippant stuff. Every time. He with Kim Kardashian. He ain't had no business being with Kim Kardashian. That girl is a... I can't say it on the air, but she is a woman who I do not respect. She made her living on a sex tape, and I saw the Ray J. I don't know if y'all know who Ray J is. Ray J was in a sex tape that went viral and set her up to be who she is today. But Ray J allegedly sharing receipts. I saw it. I don't know how verified it is. Shared a contract. Ray J shared a contract that showed Kim Kardashian's mom and them agreeing in a contract to put out the sex tape. And I'm not mad at it because a yo is going to be a yo. But Kanye married her and had kids with her. And she left him to sleep with Pete Davidson. The guy that looked like he just woke up and fell out of a trash can. She's publicly laying up with Pete Davidson, and he's not even funny. I put his comedy skit on. I said, God dang, you to be that ugly, you got to be funny. He on there sounding like he did comedy skit for the first time in his life. I said, this dude's the trashiest comedian on planet Earth. But Kim up there laying up with that dude. And what does Kanye do? He up in front of our house buying roses and stuff, simping. I can't take that. But anyway, I guess he had a problem with Adidas, and he wanted to part ways with them. And then I saw on TV the other day he parted ways with Gap because he didn't like some of the things that they were doing. You know, there's always two sides of every coin, but according to what he said, it seemed like they kind of screwed him over. He wanted to make really good products at a reasonable price. He claimed that they took his concept, they charged $20 for it, and then they started making his stuff $200, $100, $150 for shirts. Now, do I believe that? I have no idea. Do you know if this is a publicity stunt between him and Gap? Nobody has any idea. However, I just don't like and have respect for him. But I just wanted to report to y'all if y'all care about Kanye West. Martha's Vineyard, they sent those illegal aliens to Martha's Vineyard, and Martha's Vineyard put out a statement on Twitter and said that this is a humanitarian crisis. You sorry son of a guns. Humanitarian crisis. Y'all got so much money. There's people that have houses in Martha's Vineyard they don't even stay at until the wintertime. You can't let the illegal aliens go in there and take a shower in your house? You got all that money. I mean, I would probably do it if I had that much money. Hey, y'all come out here, take a shower first. Let me act like I care. Now, I genuinely care. But if I didn't care, let me act like I care. Let me just, for a publicity stunt, let me just have them come in my house, let them take a shower. I'll hire some people to funnel them through, make sure they don't steal nothing, make sure they don't get hurt and nothing happen in there. And then I'll fly down there in my private jet and sit in front of the door and say, look, see, I'm helping people. If I was one of these dead brain celebrities. But they didn't even do that. They shipped them off the island in almost 48 hours. They were gone. What happened to the philanthropic nature of celebrities? They can sit there at the Grammys and they can cry on TV and say, we want illegals. No, man, nobody's illegal. Until they show up at your house. Now y'all mad. Okay, I'm not going to belabor that point. Joe Biden saying that people should be charged. It says mad that Republicans are mad that Republicans have them holding him accountable to what they're doing in the border. I talked about the border yesterday, so I don't want to beat that dead horse today. There's a lot of other stuff that's going on and I could talk about. But let me go back to the Lord real quick because I think this is important as well. And I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the Lord. So let me just talk about this real quick. And why I push so hard for us to have relationships with God and not be religious. It's not smart for us to be religious. If you read anything about Jesus, he was against the people who were religious. They didn't have a relationship. They were just doing rudiments of repetition just because. And I feel like today we have to be careful of finding ourselves doing the same thing. You need to ask the question why. With whatever you do for the Lord or whatever you do in the church, ask yourself the question why. Why am I doing this? If you go to church on Sunday, you need to ask yourself the question, why am I going to church on Sunday and not on Saturday? When you go into your church, and I'm just talking about the people that want to go deeper. You go into the church and your pastor is preaching up there. You say, why am I a Baptist and not an apostolic? Why am I in a Baptist church and not a Episcopalian church? I may be saying it wrong. Why am I a Christian and not a Mormon? Why am I a Christian and not Jewish or a Jew? These are the questions that we should be asking ourselves, because then it will cause you and compel you to validate what you really believe. Because when you get tested, when you get tried, you don't drop the faith like a bad habit. You are firm and strong in your convictions and what you believe. I would argue, if you want to go to the next level, research the Bible. How was the Bible written? What is the original language? How did they compile 66 books? Why did they pick these 66 books and they didn't pick other books that were not in the Bible? I'm just challenging us. Hold the phone. I'll be back after the break.
This is the Officer Tatum Show. Not afraid to tell it like it is.
People gon' dance to give the record a second and a chance to.
This is the Officer Tatum Show. Traveling trunks from sea to shining sea.
So now I'm looking dead at you. What are you gonna
do? Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. A whole bunch of people calling in. 844-900-7243. 844-900-7243. I'm trying to find all these people. There's so many of y'all. I don't even know where to go. Let me see. James from Pennsylvania, welcome to the Officer Tatum Show.
Hello, Officer. How are you tonight?
I'm doing well.
you know, Elton John's in Pittsburgh tonight performing, and the city is rocking out, and the religious ones are circling around the Pittsburgh stadium like a witch on a broom. They're after that gay man for no reason. But why, you know, I was a nurse, a vocational nurse. People in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. Why is it people on the right side of the radio talk show hosts, they condemn and persecute and use the Bible as a weapon to condemn and persecute other groups of people and pin one group against the other? And with the elections going on, they're awful wicked elections. That's the works of Satan in some of those elections, the commercials for them. And it's causing a lot of violence. My God, they're gunning down 10 and 11 people a week here in Pittsburgh, right in downtown Pittsburgh, in a little town.
James, I love you. I love you, but I can't understand you that well. Thank you for the call. I can't understand you that well. So I think James was saying that people are running around a Pittsburgh Steelers stadium like they're on broomsticks, condemning people. Let me speak to that real quick because, you know, there's two ways of what people perceive as condemnation, right? One, some people perceive condemnation is the fact they don't want to hear the truth. So they feel condemned because you tell them the truth and they don't want to hear it. There's another one that I think is actual condemnation, which is somebody running around saying, everybody going to hell, you're going to hell, you're going to hell. It's like you're not effective either. You're not effectively doing anything. I'm going to hell. Okay, what's next? Like, how do I get out of this? You know, what is the mission in which you're telling people? And if you approach it that way, people are not going to listen to you anyway because you sound like a wacko. I don't think hardly anybody gets saved with a person with a sign that says all fornicators are going to hell. And let me tell you this too. The Bible clearly says in the book of Romans that it's not our job to make the statement of saying who's going to hell and who's going to heaven. That's not our job. We don't know who going where. Now, we could tell you that these actions will lead to hell, or they may lead to a negative lifestyle that you do not really want, but we can't tell you if you're going to heaven or hell. I have no idea what your heart doing. I don't know what you and God are going to do at the end, but it's not up to us to do that. But these people who are not Christians, I don't say they're not Christians. They don't read their Bible. They're just enthralled with believing that they are better than the next person, and they use that to weaponize and thinking that they're saving lives. To me, this is my opinion. I mean, am I going to go and slap a person in the head who's picking it around the stadium? No, I'm not. I mean, I don't even consider some of those people to actually be Christian. They don't even know the doctrine. They just talking. So there's two different things, and condemnation is something that is not conducive for anything. You could tell a person the truth, though. And the funny thing is that in our society today, we honestly believe that Christianity, some people believe that Christianity is putting some stank on your life. And it's not. It's actually trying to help you. Because if you just follow one of the Ten Commandments, just follow one. You pick one to follow. Just say that everybody in the world had to follow one commandment. You could pick any one of them, and the world would be a completely different place. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, and put nobody before God. I mean, you can go down the list. Just one, and everybody be in a different place. Committing adultery, everybody be in a different place. You go with other sins like fornication, everybody, the whole world be different. Just one sin. You ain't got to follow nothing else. Just not do one sin out of any of them. The world would be a better place. Even the lust of the mind. Jesus came and he was speaking about not only in the law, it says that if you do this physically, like you commit adultery, if you commit adultery in your mind, that's the same thing. If you just pick one thing, if people couldn't commit adultery in their mind, the world would be a better place. The Bible and Christianity is not to hurt you. It's really to help you. You know, a lot of people think that, oh, sex before marriage, don't you regret half of the stuff you did? Don't you regret it? You know, you go and get married, and you're like, man, I regret all of the stuff I did. I wasted my time with these other people. You know, the Bible was trying to tell you that a long time ago. It would have saved you from child support and headaches and all kind of other stuff that you got yourself involved in. It's only here to help you. And sometimes it may not feel good at first. It's like ripping the scab off a wound. But once you get the scab off, you put some ointment on it. It's the only way it's going to heal.
This is the Officer Tatum Show. The left ain't seen nothing yet.
All right, Tommy Lahren. I think y'all know who Tommy Lahren is. If you don't, she's a political pundit. She was hot a long time ago. She was, and I'm not talking about looks. I'm talking about her popularity. She's a decent looking woman. No woman looks better than my wife. However, just kidding, my wife listening. Anybody look better than you, baby? But Tommy Lahren was. They attempted to attack her. What university was she at? University of New Mexico. She was at University of New Mexico doing a speech, a Turning Point USA speech. And the funny thing is that I've been there. I've done those speeches all over the country. I think I've been in like 25, 30 universities. I did 22 in 1 year. Speaking all over the country and speaking life to these young people because they have no recourse. They have no outlet on campus. They just getting bludgeoned every day on campus by these crazy deranged leftists. So while she was speaking, these half-retarded leftists decided that they're going to break in the door, and I guess they were going to threaten and scare her. You know what's funny is that I don't know if it's because she's white or she's a woman that they tried this. I have been, like I said, I'm on 30 universities. I have never heard or had somebody try to break in the doors in an event that I was at. Because if they try to break in, I'm going to tell the security, let them on back. How many stretchers and my pillows can I get for people falling asleep as they approach the stage? You know, I've never, that's one thing that I don't like is I don't like the controversy. I'm going to be honest. Like, I try to avoid certain situations because I don't know what these leftists thinking, man. You put your hands on me, I'm not going to turn the other cheek. I'm going to turn your cheek. I'm going to swing on you. So, I find it very interesting that, you know, they did this to Tommy Lahren. It's unfortunate because the leftists, they're deranged. When liberals have speeches on campus, nobody cares. Nobody cares. I could tell you the last time a liberal had a speech somewhere. Nobody cares. Their ideas suck, and we know they suck, and we don't need to go protest about it. But when we come into town and we do things, they are terrified. And then they're dumb enough to just make up random stuff. Turning Point USA is a racist organization. You're like, dude, but they let a black man speak. Oh, because I'm a conservative. I guess I don't count. Okay. Okay. Let me go to, let's see. I'm trying to get somebody that haven't called in yet. Let me go to Roy from San Antonio. I think Roy may have called in before. Roy from San Antonio. It's your lucky day if you called in already.
Hello, Officer Tatum.
Hey, how you doing? Yep, you called in before. Yep.
I have called in before. I always like to chime in when you talk about the Bible or Christianity. And yes, today you were saying that that if we could obey one commandment, this world would be a better place.
Yeah.
In your opinion, what is the easiest commandment to obey?
I think probably the one that says, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images. That should be easy. that shall not put no other God before me. That could be difficult. I put them up on here so I can make sure I can recite them properly. Thou shalt not name the Lord thy God in vain. That's hard. The Sabbath day, struggle with the Sabbath day even today. Honor thy mother and father. Yeah. People struggle with that. Thou shalt not kill, commit adultery, and shall not steal. I think the easier one is the graven images. Maybe I can give a person a bone. If they can just not do that, they may be able to accomplish that one.
So graven images means that you don't idolize, or does it mean you don't make a statue or a figurine?
Yeah, I think it's idolization. Like, you know, that you don't idolize, you don't make an image that is before God or that you honor or worship in place of God.
Okay. So it seems to me that there's a lot of idealization going on in the prosperity religion.
The what?
They idolize. In the prosperity religions, there's a lot of idealization. They idolize wealth. They idolize, you know, status. There's a lot of that going on.
I'm forgetting the religion that you're talking about. You said what religion?
Prosperity religion.
Oh, prosperity religion. Ah, okay. Yeah. Uh-huh. Keep going.
So it seems to me they do a lot of idolizing. They think that since they got money, they're better than somebody that doesn't.
Yeah, that could be true.
Know, I think they're also part of the evangelical group.
You think they are a part of the evangelical group?
Yes.
Are you saying that you believe that the prosperity and evangelical go together, like they're one and the same?
Right. Right. They idolize wealth. They idolize power. They idolize, Trump. They idolize Republicans. They just idolize all of them.
Do they idolize Democrats?
No, they don't.
So I want to believe that you're being fair about your testimony, but I mean, it seems like you're picking one side. I mean, you know, Christians, there's a lot of Christians that are Democrats too.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of Christians that idolize Joe Biden, and they idolize Kamala Harris. They idolize abortion.
I don't think that's a real Christianity.
I don't think idolization in general is real Christianity.
There you go. So that is not an easy. That's not an easy commandment.
Well, I'm saying out of all the other ones, you know, maybe I just had to pick one, man. I had to pick one. Hey, I thank you, Roy, for calling in. I got to run to the break. Ladies and gentlemen, and ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I was saying this earlier that Gavin Newsom says, beware, Newsom's commission on the state of hate is more nefarious than it seems. That's not the one I wanted. It was the one that said that, I'm not going to be able to find it. All right, I'm going to go to something different. It was about them saying that DeSantis and them should be charged with trafficking. Or kidnapping, that's what it is. When we all know that these people sign a waiver, you know, saying that they understood that they could be shipped to these different states, the sanctuary states. Let me read this to you. Disney employee arrested at work in child sex sting operation. He has addictions to underage children. Why is all these people from Disney... I mean, it's not shocking to me. I mean, they're dealing with kids, so that's where you're going to track out the pedophiles. Not everybody that works for Disney is a pedophile. Let me just say that so nobody don't sue me. But what I'm saying is that if you're a person that have a fetish for kids, you work in the kid industries. You know, it's funny that people may not understand that, though. You got to watch out for people that are working in kid industries, working at toy stores, working at little gyms or whatever that, you know, I would say gyms, like little jumpy places and stuff where there's kids at. You got to watch people there closer than you'll watch them in other places, because if a person has an attraction or a fetish to kids, they want to be around kids and kids' activities. It says Florida's Polk County Sheriff announced Thursday that a child sex sting operation had resulted in the arrest of 13 men, including one Disney employee. Now, I don't know how many employees work for Disney, but I'm pretty sure it's a lot, so... I don't want us to jump the gun and think, oh man, everybody from Disney is child molesters. And that's not the case. It's one person that happened to work for Disney, which is unfortunate. The detective arrested 13 men during a week-long undercover operation dubbed Operation Cyber Guardian 2, in which they posed as children online to investigate those who prey upon and travel to meet children for unlawful sexual activities, a statement from the sheriff's office. In total, the 13 suspects faced a total 41 felonies and 3 misdemeanor charges related to their alleged attempts to engage in sexual activity with children. The suspects communicated with and solicited who they thought were children online, officials say. 8 suspects showed up at an undercover location in Polk County at separate times to meet who they thought were children to sexually batter them. Says the Texas obtained warrants for 5 other suspects who were arrested and booked into the jail in their representative respective counties. 3 of the suspects believed that they were speaking with a parent or guardian of a child who wanted to teach the child their child to have sex, or arranging for a minor to have sex with the suspect. That's crazy. I have people actually do that. The reason these scenarios happen because people do it. So some parents are selling their kids out there for sex. One of the men who was arrested is 42-year-old Kevin Sanders of Winter Garden, told law enforcement officials that he was employed by Disney as a roving IT support specialist. So it don't seem like he's nowhere near kids. Law enforcement officials arrested Sanders at Disney and charged him with 1 count of transmitting harmful material to a minor and 1 account of using a computer to solicit children or a child for sex. We will continue to conduct proactive operations like the search, like this, to search out these evil predators before they get your children. I don't know what I would do if I caught somebody trying to get my son. Oh, and if I had a daughter, it'd probably be worse. I don't know what I would do. I don't know before, I guess what I'm contemplating is, what would I do before or after I go to jail? That's what's going to happen, because there's no way in the world I could stomach the fact that somebody's trying to manipulate my innocent children. I mean, these kids are innocent. They're innocent mentally. They're innocent physically. And for a grown man to be trying to be predators towards these little kids is just, it's beyond me. I really don't know where it comes from, man. I feel like you have to be a sicko to do that. And I mean, you have to be even sicker because you want to go to prison. I don't know how you think you're not going to get caught at some point. I mean, you know, the sad part is, ladies and gentlemen, that there must be a lot of people that get away with this. You know what I'm saying? There must be a lot of people that, like, go to these and do stuff with kids. Like, these people that's caught, how many other times did they do this and didn't get caught? Therefore, they feel confident enough to try it out again and again and again. It's very sickening and bizarre. Let me tell you something else that's bizarre. Some of these young people welcome this type of attention and behavior. And I'm not saying that they do it with a cognitive mind, but subconsciously and through chaos in their lives and through mistreatment, abuse, they may participate with these older guys and be easily manipulated. You know, when I was in middle school, people were having sex when I was in middle school, 7th to 8th grade. You know, 12, 13-year-olds, 14-year-old. I don't know if you're 14 in middle school, but 12 to 14-year-old, maybe if you got held back a little bit. But still, I mean, that age range, maybe 11 to 13 is probably more of the age range. But that age range in middle school, when I was in middle school, other kids were having sex. When we used to do the half days, your parents at work, and everybody go to creeping. And I hope that parents are aware of this stuff. Your kids are out here creeping. Don't think that little Johnny, who's the most innocent kid whatsoever, is not out here creeping and being influenced. Don't be a naive parent. Do not be a naive parent. I know people whose children were straight-A students, never had an issue. I mean, you would never believe it. Ended up having a child at a very young age. Don't let your guard down. Stay vigilant. Protect your children. Don't let them get on these video games and talk to people that you cannot monitor. You know, my son has a phone, and maybe one day PeerTalk allowed this service, but I have a phone for my son that it's called a family line, and I have an app on my phone that tells me everything my son is doing with his cell phone at all times. I could turn the phone off. I can do all of that. And also, the phone cannot receive phone calls from numbers that are not the numbers that I put into the system that will be able to call and him to receive calls from those numbers, for him to call them and him to receive numbers. He cannot surf the internet whatsoever. He cannot download apps unless I approve them. It should be foolproof. And I told you guys the story yesterday that obviously it's not, and I wish I'd have sued Verizon, because there was a kid that ended up sending my son child pornography. Well, not child pornography. He ended up sending my son pornography of adult men on a TikTok video. So it was a kid TikTok video where they just clowning around, dancing or whatever, and at the very end, it switched to male pornography. And there's no way that should have been able to happen, because the phone's supposed to be secure. And nobody have access to change the numbers except me. And there's no way my son knows my password to any of this stuff. I wouldn't be surprised, but I don't think he does. You don't have access to it. But you got to watch your children. It may not be your children. It may be somebody else influencing your children to do nefarious things. So keep an eye out on them. Don't ever think that your kids are above doing shenanigans, because you are biased towards your children. You remember when they were little, cuddly little babies, and they would climb up and hug you, or when they fall asleep and you hold them and rock them, and they not them no more. You want to see them like that, but they getting turned out in this crazy world if you don't hold them to a higher standard. So I thought I'd just add that 2 cents. I don't think that we should be shocked when they find people like this, because they exist. But what we should do is be vigilant and do the best that we can to make sure it doesn't happen. When will low-income Americans stop looking to the government for help? I want to talk about that in the next segment. If you want to call in, 844-900-7243, 844-900-7243. The phone lines are off the hook. You're listening to The Officer Tatum Show. I'm your host, Brandon Tatum. I'll talk to you guys after the break.
This is The Officer Tatum Show on the Salem News Channel, on the Salem Podcast Network, and right here, right now. This is The Officer Tatum Show. The left ain't seen nothing yet.
All right. 844-900-7243. 844-900-7243. If you got something to add to the show. I like when people disagree with me. I wonder, is line four disagreeing with me or not? Craig, welcome to The Officer Tatum Show.
Oh, hey, Brandon. Thanks for taking my call. So, just FBI, but I had a letter to it. I called the FBIC, Federal Bureau of Incompetence and Corruption. Because look, they basically went in there. They went out of there with boxes of medical records, boxes of his tax records, boxes of his mementos and pictures and family pictures, pictures of him with all his friends and everything in there. They loaded up and cleaned him out of all this kind of stuff, and his pretty much like his life stuff, and everything, all under the excuse that they were looking for some classified documents, and they went out of it way too much. I mean, that's very unfair and very corrupt, in my estimation.
100%. Craig, thank you so much for the call. I agree with you. I agree with you. From what I heard, I agree. It was very hard to hear Craig on the radio, but you know, it begs the question, right? Once the special master goes through and determines what's personal, what's not personal, this can be very interesting. If you ask me to give a theory about what I think happened, I think that they tried to find a lame excuse to go into his house and get as much content and material as they can to see if they can get dirt on him. That's my opinion. And they rambush through all of his stuff. They take his personal records, his attorney-client privilege records, and they leak it. This is what they want to do. They want to go in and get all of his stuff, and they would have come out on the other side and say, oops, we were just trying to be cautious and taking what we need. Oops, we didn't mean to take your personal stuff. Oops, it was in a box, and we didn't know that. But no, they want to take it all, find something juicy, And then they want to wait to the election and leak it. They want to leak his personal stuff. Because you know after they leak, nothing is going to happen. Not going to get in trouble. Nobody's going to follow up and remember that it was they did this to leak information. It's just not going to happen, ladies and gentlemen. It is not going to happen. So I think that was very good insight as to, you know, the purposes that they have. Let me go to Josh from West Virginia.
Hello.
Welcome to the Off Tatum Show.
I'm honored to talk to you, and first of all, thanks for your public service when you were with the police and now.
I appreciate that.
I wanted to just pass along some information that I found. I might be the only person in America that remembers it, but when Whoopi gets on her racist rants and being a victim, when she was dating Ted Danson, he appeared on one of the award shows in blackface and got pretty much crucified for it, and she defended him.
Wow. Wow.
That information is available as of right now. It's called The Affair That Cost Ted Danson $30 Million. It's on YouTube, and it's like a seven-minute video, and there's maybe a minute or a minute and a half in the middle of the video about this. And the poster was Facts Verse, F-A-C-T-S, Verse. So I don't know why we haven't heard anything about this, but the information's still out there. So I guess people can draw their own conclusions.
Oh, it was a roast for Whoopi Goldberg. Okay, John. Josh, it was a roast.
Okay.
I guess Whoopi Goldberg, she did that. Oh, perfect, perfect. Josh, thank you so much for the call. I appreciate it. Yeah, you guys take that advice. Go look at it. You know, it's funny. All these leftists were a certain way before Trump and wokeism and all this other stuff. And now they try to act like they're the most virtuous people on planet Earth. Let me see. Eli, welcome to the Off Tatum Show.
Hello.
Yeah, Eli, welcome to the show.
Hey, brother. I really appreciate you taking my call. I'm just wanting to chime in and come into agreement. And again, it's very refreshing to have a voice like yours. I was listening in. And I just can't help but, now that I'm a father, I have my son, and I'm thinking, how much more is it going to take where we hear what's happening, not just with Disney and that company, but we need, I think, a conscientious voice, a voice that talks about the truth in its raw nature. I mean, I'm tired of the relativism. I'm tired of a lot of things and that lead to that, where there is no voice that is standing up for truth and it's clear its form, you know, the veritas, if you will, and really appreciate your service and you standing at the front of the line and sharing the truth of the word, but also making it very much aware to the public of these things that are really troubling, where we don't have that voice that speaks the truth, we'll suffer, you know, as a nation, as a community. And we've served the community for 25 years, and we appreciate voices like your own that are willing to speak that truth and you know, in its rawest form. The truth, as we know it, shall set us free. So I really appreciate it. I was hearing also your guests, and I really appreciate everyone who's chiming in and coming on board. It's really important in this day and age, for sure.
God bless you. Thank you, Eli, for coming on. I really appreciate it. Let me go to – I'm going to switch subjects real quick because I have a gentleman calling in about smartphones and problems with kids and technology. LT from Fresno, California, welcome to the Off Tatum Show.
Hey, what's up, brother? How you doing?
I'm doing well. I only got 1 minute.
Okay, well, I was telling your screener about the issues that I had with my son and smartphones, and you know, just there's no real way to prevent them from, you know, getting to the stuff that they want to get to. You know, they'll use their friends' phones, they'll use their mom's phones, they'll use the so-called iPads at school to, you know, just get into things that they shouldn't. And, you know, I was pretty diligent about, you know, trying to stay on top of things. But like I said, you know, with the iPads that the schools issue, you know, they claim that, oh, you know, they're on a secured system. They can't do anything. But I found out that the kids, you know, were playing video games all day, watching YouTube videos and, you know, crazy
That's
stuff
crazy.
Like that.
That's crazy. Hold the phone. I'll be back after the break.
The Officer Tatum Show. Common sense in an uncommon way. Act like you know.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Officer Tatum Show. I am back with a vengeance. I hope you guys are having a good weekend. If you're a police officer like I was, maybe this is your Monday. I encourage you to have a good week. How do you have a good week? Positive thinking. What is positive thinking? It's not just running your mouth. It's believing what you say. That's positive thinking. If you say, I am going to have a great week, you feel that your week is going to be great, you anticipate a great week or a weekend, you will see that come to fruition. The article says, a lady named Star Parker says, when will low-income Americans stop looking to the government? New poll data from Gallup shows Americans are not having an easy time through this period of rising prices. I'm sorry. According to Gallup, 56% of Americans say now that rising prices are causing severe or moderate hardship. Drilling down, we see that the hardship is not shared equally. Amongst low-income households, those with incomes less than $48,000 a year, 74% report that they are experiencing hardship. Amongst middle-class households with income of $48,000 to $89,000 a year, 63% report hardship. And amongst the upper income, $90,000 and above, only 40% report experiencing hardships. So clearly we can see that the poorer you are, the harder your life is going to be. When I say poorer, the less money you make. I don't say poorer, because poor is a mentality. And also poor is a priority. Some people got $48,000 is plenty of money. You know, and to be honest, if think about it like this. This one says household income. Well, I'm assuming that only one person working if y'all making $48,000 a year. If two people working and you making $48,000 a year, y'all must be doing lawn work under the table. Because I don't know what job will pay you less than, I don't even know what the hourly rate would be to make $20,000 a year. I mean, I guess those jobs are out there. However, if you find yourself in that predicament, you better not be having kids. You better wait until you have enough money, because then you're going to go to poverty. Because $48,000 could probably take care of some grown people. And you ain't got to go to a steakhouse, and you ain't got to get a TV. You don't even need a TV. Go buy some books and read. You don't need a car. Drive to public transportation, get you a bicycle. Even in the wintertime, it's a guy at my church. Now, I know everybody ain't built like this, but there was a guy at my church. He used to walk 4 miles each way to work in the snow. They were in, like, Colorado somewhere. He used to walk 4 miles to work every day and then walk 4 miles home. And didn't complain one time. How much $10 an hour get you what? Oh, $20,000, you'd be $10 an hour. I don't even, that'd be interesting. So $10 an hour would get you what, $20,000 a year for 40-hour a week work week. So two people making $10 an hour would get you around $40,000 a year. And I don't even know a job to pay you $10 an hour.
And to be honest, listen, let me say this. And then I'm going to get on to my point. But, like, I think people need to not be as entitled. Because if you are making $10 an hour, you need to stay with other people who are also making money that's around your range. If four of y'all get an apartment, three of y'all get an apartment, you go move in with your mom and them, you go move in with some family members, you will fare better. You know, right across the street from my grandma's house, there was a Hispanic family that moved in there. And I swear there was like 15 of them that living in one house. And like 10 of them were adults. And I don't know how they did it because that house was probably 600 square feet. But then before you know it, now they got the house next door and now they splitting it up. Because what I was told that they did was they live in a house and they stack money. And then they buy another house and their family live in that house. And then they continue to keep buying houses until all the family can move out and have a relatively equal space to live. And they partnered on it initially to grow their family wealth enough to purchase houses and live a better life.
If you're looking for somebody who will hold you tight, who will walk you to your doorstep each and every night.
This is the Officer Tatum Show. And afraid to tell it like it is.
Ladies and gentlemen, we enter into the last segment. I want to take a step back from the politics and talk about something that I'm really passionate about. And that is cigars. I know for a fact there's somebody listening to me that understand the passion that I have for smoking cigars. I think they're incredible. Cigars are more than just a smoke. It's an opportunity to network and to meet people and to hang out. It's kind of like golfing. You do business on a golf course, even though half of the people that golf suck. Obviously, you know, the young man that works with me that do my videos, he's like Tiger Woods, but everybody else sucks. And we're going to go to Topgolf tomorrow for our team building event, and I'm probably going to suck, okay? Just because I'm black don't mean I can play golf, okay? But anyway, I love smoking cigars, and for all the cigar lovers out there, some people often ask me, what's your favorite cigar? And I would have to say, I'm not going to tell what Dennis Prager's favorite cigar is, because we were talking about it the other night. But my favorite cigar is the Padron 50th. It's expensive. It's a $40 a stick, man. But if you can muster up $40, even if you saved it, it's worth smoking a Padron 50th. It is the absolute most smooth, creamy cigar with incredible flavor. It draws well, burns well. I mean, if I could have come up with the Padron cigar, I'd be a billionaire right now. That's one of my favorite. I guess my second favorite cigar would probably be, now I like Davidoff, so it would probably be the Davidoff Chef. I like the Davidoff Chef. What would be my third favorite cigar? What do I smoke a lot? I don't know what my third one is. That Padron is one of my favorite. I had the Tabernacle, the David and Goliath. Well, it actually was Goliath, the Goliath one. I smoked a couple of those. They get too strong. But anyway, for my cigar lovers out there, those are my top three, relatively speaking. And then also, I love whiskey. So with 1 minute left, let me tell you my top three whiskeys. I would say bourbon, rye. Number one is Angel's Envy Rye. It's the number one drink of choice for me. And then I would say number two would have to be Elijah Craig. Bourbon or rye is totally fine. It doesn't even matter which one. I like both of them. And then the number three whiskey for me, and I guess this is something that a lot of people obviously drink already, is Buffalo Trace would be my number three. And I'm just going with Buffalo Trace as a generic number three. But Angel's Envy Rye, if you never had Angel's Envy Rye, you're missing out. Hold the phone. I'll see y'all on Tuesday.
What's going on, y'all? This is Brandon Tatum. I just want to thank you so much for listening to my podcast. You can always get the podcast at Salem Podcast Network or wherever you listen to your podcast.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.